What do you say we go to lunch? Or dinner or breakfast, depends on when you're listening, I guess. But we've got to get some food because this one is about taste. I'm wondering how it works, from the actual taste buds to why I hated some things when I was a kid, but I don't mind them now. And how much of taste is taste, and how much of taste is actually smell? And why do I feel like if I look at something, I know what it would taste like, even if it's something I probably shouldn't eat? I've got questions. All right, welcome to The Taste Show, something we do every day, food. Or, I don't know, maybe you're on some sort of juice cleanse, but even then, it's going to taste like something, probably something that tastes very green. So let's meet our expert today.
I am Zara Patel. I am a professor here at Stanford University School of Medicine in the Department of Otolaryngology, or what people know as ENT.
Ear, nose, and throat, all connected. Just like we mentioned before, taste and smell are connected. So baby steps first. How does this work? Well, the taste buds, those are on your tongue. They're in the little bumps. You got about 10,000 of them, but you lose some with age. Happens to all of us. But what happens when you put that piece of chocolate in your mouth? Let's take it from there.
Yeah. So when we think about how we taste, you get the immediate five different basic tastes that you get from the tongue. So those are sweet, salty, bitter, sour, and umami.
Umami, if you're unfamiliar, described as savory. It's like the characteristic for the broth or the cooked meat.
And whatever combination is being triggered by what you've put in your mouth, the taste buds themselves can sense that and send the signal back to your brain. However, other than those basic tastes, the entire flavor of what you're eating or drinking is much more highly dependent on your ability to smell it.
And people say smell is really 80, even maybe 90% of taste. So we'll get plenty more on that. But also, distinction here between taste and flavor. Are those two different things we're working with?
Yeah. When I say taste, I'm just talking about those five basic tastes, the things that come from your tongue. But flavor, when I talk about it, is the entire experience. And that's how actually we distinguish between different things that are sweet. So for example, the reason that you're distinguishing between strawberry and raspberry is not from your tongue. It's all based on your ability to smell the different odorant molecules that those foods have. Otherwise, they're just both sweet, right? So the same thing with, like, you know, why vanilla is different than strawberry. And people who have lost their smell, when they put vanilla and strawberry ice cream in their mouth, they just taste sugar.
We learned more about this over COVID, right? Because people lost that sensation. She says her patients would just tell her everything seems kind of gray, kind of muted. It's not fun anymore. So if you took a poll before that you would lose a sense, which one is it? You said, I got to see, I got to hear. I'll lose my smell. No, you need that smeller.
Yeah, that's the vast majority of people. If you ask them, I'm sure that's the one that they would choose. But once someone has lost it, they are pretty desperate to try and get it back.
So now I'm curious, can I make it better? And or are there super smellers or super tasters? I mean, like the sommelier argument, is it a better sense or is it a better vocabulary? Or maybe it's both.
So yes, there's a way actually to improve your sense of smell. And there's actually a box that sommeliers train on to be able to pick up on different odorants better. And olfactory training, this sort of structured smelling protocol, is actually one of the ways that I can bring people's smell back to normal. It's also a way to train your normal smell to become heightened and more aware. So you can actually become a super smeller by training your smell system. Super tasters is actually also a thing, a separate type of thing.
Yeah, there's a different receptor. Some of them can do bitter better. But do I actually want that? Because if I can pick it out more, maybe I'm just going to hate more food.
Yeah. So, you know, preference for smell and taste likely has a lot more to do with cultural and social exposure to those tastes and smells. A perfect example of this would be something called durian. I don't know if you're familiar with that fruit.
This is your Google assignment. Durian, D-U-R-I-A-N. Some headlines here. The world's smelliest fruit. A smell so rotten, a taste so sweet. Smells like garbage, tastes so good.
Southeast Asia is the place where this fruit is most typically commonly consumed. And for many people, when you cut open and smell durian, it is terrible. It smells terrible and that no one would ever even think about eating that. But people who grew up eating and tasting that actually really, really enjoy it. So that actually has more to do with whether or not you like or have a preference for a smell and taste versus whether you actually have a high sensitivity.
What about changing over time? I've read some people say, yeah, it can happen, the loss of the taste buds with age. Some flavors that maybe were too intense as a kid, those calm down a little bit. But does that also go along with exposure? Like, I used to hate spinach, and now I don't.
So some of that is simple exposure, like, you know, how many different leafy greens you might have ingested over your lifetime might be influencing whether you can appreciate the flavor of spinach more now than when you were a baby.
There have been some studies looking at whether you can get people on to veggies, and it comes down to bitter again. The more you eat of the green stuff, the idea is the less bitter that it seems. You start doing comparisons too. Spinach, well, I like this better than kale, so spinach, suddenly not that bad.
But other things probably influence it also. So for example, take beer. Children and kids, if you gave them a sip of beer, they wouldn't really enjoy that.
When I was little, I took a swig of my dad's beer thinking it was my Sprite, spat it all over the table.
But because the way that our society sort of imbibes alcohol and beer as part of our socialization, people tend to develop a flavor acquisition.
I like beer now. I like bourbon. I like whiskey. Can't stand vodka. It's the smell. Okay, here's one. The pepper people, like the hot pepper people, what's the deal with them? They could just chow down where like the rest of us would be dying.
Peppers, that sensation of spice is actually mediated through a totally different nerve. It's called the trigeminal nerve. So our ability to tolerate different amounts of heat also has to do with what we've been exposed to and also how much repetitive exposure we have to it.
Yeah, go over the nature versus nurture research. You'll see there are some indications. Some people's 10 on the scale is a 6 on others. So that's genetics. For the professional eaters, the contests, you can dull those nerve endings that say hot, but you got to stay on a pretty steady stream of peppers so it doesn't, you know, heal too much. And then for everybody else, we're back to just growing up.
So for example, I, for a little while, worked at Emory in Atlanta. And my husband works in a lab there, and one of his colleagues was commenting about how they saw an Indian person feeding their baby Indian food and was shocked. They were like, it's a baby. You can't feed a baby such spicy food. But of course, you know, throughout India, just their type of food.
Yeah, it's just food, right? It's what they eat. All right, last one, and then we're out of time. This one's weird, but it's true. I heard it on another show, and it's something to do with our tongues, where you can basically look at anything. So do this with me. If you're inside, look at the wall, look at the tile, look at the carpet. If you're driving, the dash of the car, the window, and you know in your head exactly what it would feel like to lick that, to taste it. I'm sorry, it's gross, but it's true. It's happening right now. It's basically all those nerve endings on your tongue.
The density of these nerves that are able to sense things like changes in pressure, changes in texture, are the most dense in your tongue. That's why you already know what that wall would feel like if you licked it. Our fingers have very high density sensing nerves, and that's why we, you know, investigate the world with our hands. But it's even higher density on your tongue. And that's probably why when we're growing up and babies, we do put a lot of things in our mouth in order to explore our environment the most that we can.
Maybe we know what everything tastes like because when we were small, we actually did lick it. Builds your immune systems, kids. What are we cooking up for next week? I've got a few ideas, but you tell me. I've got questions at odyssey.com. Thank you for listening. We do the new shows on Thursdays, so we'll be back.